What a great, great Sunday. And I don't know if you know this, but about every couple weeks, we add more chairs because more and more people are coming back to church, and it's exciting. I'm going to tell you something else that's super exciting. Did you just feel the herd that left? And here's what we want to encourage you. Coming in the fall, we're going to have more opportunity for kids workers. And there's going to be an on-ramp, you know, September, one semester. But the most valuable, I don't want to say this in a bad way, we're all valuable, but the most impressionable kids are the ones that just left this room. You want to make a difference in this world? It's loving on those kids. And if you're interested in that, there's training. It's not like you're just thrown to the wolves. We feed the wolves before we let you be with them. But here's the thing. You want to make a difference. It's loving on those kids. One more thing. I saw these. The back right door has magnets on it. They won't work on your plastic bumper. Not that my daughter would have tried that, but I'm just telling you, they won't work on your plastic bumper. But they do work on the back of your car. So we would love for you to... Oh, did I say that? I'm sorry. Yeah, she's holding our precious grandbaby who yesterday turned a year old. And she wouldn't have put that on the bumper. But anyway, she's going to leave the church now. Well, don't you leave. We love you. We're glad you're here. So we've been... Does it sound like I'm humming? A little bit. Can we unhum me? Maybe that's because I was teasing you, Nat, that's happening. We've been studying the book of Ephesians. That's better. And we finally got through chapter 1. And then chapter 2, it's like, okay. It starts off like this. Once you were dead. What? Okay. How? Because of your disobedience and your many sins. Now, I think chapter 1 was to say, hey, we love you. God's good. Everything's good. Now, I mean, you know, Paul's in prison, and now he's saying, okay, here's a little bit more behind the curtain. He says, you're all dead because of your disobedience and many sins. You used to live in sin just like the rest of the world, obeying the devil, the commander of the powers of the unseen world. He is at work in the hearts of those who refuse to obey God. You're like, wait a minute. We're dead, and now who is refusing to obey God? And then Paul says this in verse 3, all of us, Paul as well, used to live that way, following the passionate desires and the inclinations of our sinful nature. By our very nature, we were subject to God's anger, just like everybody else. And Paul is saying, you know what? Whether we like it or not, they're actually what he calls spiritually dead people. They are alienated from God. They have no capacity to respond to the living God. One Scottish commentator put it this way, it's the case of the dead walking. Men apart from God are actually like spiritual zombies, the walking dead, and they don't even know they're dead. They go through the motions of life, but they do not possess it. And we all kind of understand this a little bit. And even if you say, I believe in Christ, there's this thing in us that says, if I just had this, I'd be so much better. Right? If I just graduate high school, and I think Andy, one of your boys, also graduated, right? And then there's Jared. Where's Jared? He just graduated college. And maybe there's somebody else, but we think, if I can just do that, then life is good. If I can just, you know, get this job, and then life is good. And then, you know, man, there's this other job. And if I can just get married, life is good. And if I can have kids, life is good. And then if I could just sleep through the night and not have to change a diaper, life is good. And then you're like, oh, wait, if they just become teenagers. And then you go, okay, life is not good. But if they can, you know, and we have that thing in us that says, if it could. And Paul says there's this inclination towards the sinful nature. And all of us it affects. And then there's this next part of verse 4, and there's the most astounding interruption in human history. There's a coordinating conjunction that changes everything. And here it is. But God is so rich in mercy, and he loves us so much that even though we were dead, even though like there was a zombie thing going on, because of our sins, he gave us life when he raised Christ from the dead. It is only by God's grace that we have been saved. For now catch this. You can see there's just such a contrast. The first couple of verses, then listen how different this is. It says, for he raised us from the dead along with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms because we are united with Christ Jesus. So God can point to us in future ages as example of his incredible wealth of his grace and kindness towards us, as shown in all he has done for us who are united with Christ Jesus. Paul talks about, here's the previous life. You're all affected by this. You're like a dead zombie. And he makes it so crystal clear that he says, now here's the present life. Because of Christ, you can be seated with Christ. You can be an example to the ages to come. And you're alive in Christ. Before we follow the ways of the world, and Paul says it so boldly, you not only followed the ways of the world, even worse, it was the devil who was directing your path. And he says, and now there's an opportunity to follow the ways of God. You're enemies of God and actually an object of God's wrath. Now you've been freed from the infatuation of yourself. In fact, we've been seated with Christ in the heavenlies. Deadful sin zombies now raised up with Christ, seated in kind of a holy huddle. And here's where, personally, I hit the pause button. I'm like, okay, wait a minute. I don't always feel like I'm seated with Christ in the heavenlies. Sometimes I actually feel like I'm frustrated here on earth. Maybe I'm the only one, but have you ever daily just thought, man, there's a world full of strife. There's suffering, there's stress, there's pain, there's so much heartache. It's not like I want to be seated in the heavenlies, but when I'm looking at everything around, sometimes I even feel far away from God. Like when I'm in church, or there's times when I'm reading the Bible or I'm in prayer, I sense God so much. I sense him leading me, and I have a connection with God that at times in my life, it's just like, this is so holy. This is so heavenly. And yet, my reality is a lot of times kind of a now, yeah, but then a not yet. I mean, I've accepted Christ as my Savior. It's real. I mean, it's great. And that's kind of the now. But then there's this thing that I would call the not yet. I mean, let me ask you the question. Are you freed from every sinful craving? Do you have any inclinations towards the sinful nature? Is there any greed in you, any gossip, any carelessness? Do you ever envy? Or is there anger? Is there pride? Anyone ever wish they were just a little bit closer to that heavenly huddle? You know, sometimes for me, my faith is tested, and while I should be totally trusting the Lord, there's times when I'm fearful. There's times when I want to relax in the heavenly huddle, and I find myself in conflict, or I find myself just feeling confused about life. Like I thought this is how life was supposed to go, and I anticipated life to go this way, and then sometimes it doesn't. I mean, last weekend, Sharon and I had planned to spend Mother's Day weekend in Branson, and we got a phone call that a dear loved one could be dying. So immediately we left Branson and drove, you know, about 9 hours to get to Iowa. And I'm like, wait a minute. We had this plan and it was all good. And then life shifted. And so when I want to be in the holy huddle and I have a connection with God and I love God, and sometimes it's so heavenly, but then there's this thing about earth. And sometimes I feel like there's this dead zombie trying to drag me back into zombieism. I mean, is there ever that conflict in you? Where you're like, I so want to love God. I so want to grow in God. And yet there's a zombie going, but can you really trust him? And then life gives us a radical blow, or I mean, just stuff. And then I kind of pause and I say, okay. Maybe I understand verses 1 through 7 that God made us alive and we're raised up with Christ, we're seated with Christ, and we can experience some of those heavenlies, but we're also, I mean, unfortunately, still a little bit human. And I take such comfort in the very next verses. God saved you by his grace when you believed. In other words, Paul, you weren't perfect either. I know you're writing this and you're in prison, but you weren't perfect either. And so it's not about just being perfect. It's about being real. It's about leaning into that. I love this. God saved you by his grace when you believed. You can't take credit for this. It's a gift from God. Salvation is not a reward for the good things you have done, so that none of us can boast about it. Do you know what I love about this cross? We're all beneath it. The ground is level. And every one of us, Paul says, has an inclination with our own self-infatuation. Every one of us has a sinful nature that's like a zombie that's trying to drag us into zombieism. And Paul says, but pause there for a minute and realize you're super valuable to God, and he understands that we're human. F.F. Bruce puts it like this: it's by grace alone, through faith alone, to God alone be the glory. Some days that's a good day. Say, okay, God, I get it. Let me just give you a little example of this. I need a couple of teenagers who would like some money. Well, I mean, I'm going to give you money. So I need three teenagers to come up here with me. Okay, right now, I'm going to give you this money. Does nobody want any money? All right. All right, any three of you? My daughter wants it. She's got kids. Okay. What is that? Not yet. Come here. All right, what is that?
That's a $20 bill.
Do you want it?
Yes.
Even if I do that?
Yeah.
Why would you? It's like crumpled up. Why would you want that?
It's still valuable.
You want this? You still want it? My shoe. You know what I've stepped in? I mean, nothing bad. But I mean, you want that? I can't give you that one. I can give that to one of you. All right. Now, this one, it's kind of crinkly. You really want that? Are you sure? Why would you want something that's crinkly?
Because I could still use useful. I can still use it.
It's still useful and you can use it. And you want that one.
I'll take it.
And Chris, you don't mind the one I stepped on.
Yeah, it's one.
Do you understand? This is a little bit of how grace works. Now, you can just pause for a minute. I'm going to really give this to you. It's not so much who you think you are. It's really who you are. Some of us have felt like we've been kind of crumpled up in life. You're welcome. Don't leave yet. Some of us feel like, okay, maybe we got stepped on in life. And some of us just maybe had a little bit easier. I don't know. But it's hard. But do you get what I'm saying? Why is this still valuable? When I step on it, when I wrinkle it up, it's because there's something behind this that says this is valuable. You've got to understand this as teenagers, especially. Because in this world, you're going to get beat up. You're going to beat up, and life's not going to go as well. But if you understand that God says, I value you because I created you. I mean, you know what I did? I remember in high school, you can take this, I'm going to bore you just for a second. I remember a guy made fun of me because of something I spelled. And so I went through 4 years of college, and then I went through a total of 6 years of college, and then I went through a total of 9 years of college. And I did that so when I went back to my reunion, I could tell this guy, now I'm Dr. Jim, and I know how to spell that word. And I thought, Jim, you studied like for 9 years to tell that guy, because here's what happened. I thought, well, man, they made fun of me, so I must not be valuable. And I wasted all those years in college to think that was going to make me valuable, but it didn't make me valuable. You know where I really find my value? And the older I get, this matters. It's because, Nora, you're loved by God. You've got good parents, good family support. But it's God who created you. It's God who gave you a gift to share with us today. Chris, you too. You're valuable. And the world's going to beat on you. And it's going to beat on you, even though you're big. But it's going to beat on you. And you know what? Some of you understand this. Okay, thanks. You're done. Appreciate the
$20.
Yeah. I'm surprised nobody asked for more. Yeah. I'm done. I'm not God. You take it. But see, God... You go to Pastor Kevin if you want a wallet full of cash. Don't come to me. In spite of what happens to us, this is why Paul can be in prison and say, I'm super valuable. No, you're not valuable. You're in prison. Oh, it's not where I am that makes me valuable. It's whose I am that makes me valuable. Don't you wish you could have learned that as a teenager? Don't you wish you wouldn't be even struggling with that now? That's why, I mean, you know, guys, we don't ever say, well, how do you treat your family? Well, what do you do? Who gives a rip what you do if you're a rotten human being? But you see, we value things that aren't really valuable. And what matters is you knowing God and then allowing God to be known through you. His kindness, that's how grace works. Have you ever rejected him? Have you ever just rebelled against God? Have you ever been dishonest towards God? Have you ever neglected God? Have you ever just kind of felt like, you know, it's part of my life, I just kind of have a half-hearted commitment to God? Have you ever denied it, but you were a little bit worshiping something that wasn't the true God? Just in how you lived and how hard and how much extra you worked for that thing that at this point, truth be told, it really doesn't matter? Despite our trespasses, despite our sins, you are ridiculously loved. And it's not a mere $20.
It's the life of his son. There's those days when it's kind of the not yet that I'm reminded, lean into God's grace. Lean into that love for you and me. It goes on to say this, and Paul kind of says, you know, there's God's grace, and then this is how you're seen by God. And this is so foreign. We are God's masterpiece. When I think of a masterpiece, I'm not thinking of me when I look at myself in the mirror. I mean, not that I have like this horrible self-image of me, but I don't wake up and go, what up, masterpiece? But that's how God looks at you. That you are his masterpiece. You're so valuable. And I think if we could understand how much God loves us and look through his lens, instead of the lens that every day is thrown at us to try to drag us back into zombieism, I think it would make a difference. And Paul is a great example of this. Hey, I'm in prison, but I'm a masterpiece. Really? Tell me about that, Paul. Well, it's really simple. It's by God's grace I have been saved. Not anything unto myself, that God might receive the glory. Because while I was a sinner, and while I was rotten, and while I took mamas and daddies and put them in prison, and I was there, and I condoned them stoning Stephen to death, God loved me. And if anybody can love me for doing that, by his grace, I am saved, and not only am I saved, I'm a masterpiece. It says this, he has created us anew in Christ Jesus, so we can do good things he planned long ago. Paul is basically saying this, yes, you're saved from something. Like if you don't know Jesus Christ and you have not accepted him as your Savior, you don't go to heaven. It's not my words, it's Jesus' words. But everybody is welcome to accept him. There's no club. He says, you're not just saved from something. You're actually a masterpiece saved for something. See what these kids did today? They're awesome. They weren't just saved from something. They're saved for something. We needed the piano and the lead guitar. And we needed Pastor Zach back here playing acoustic guitar. And then we needed the cool kicking back playing I'm the bass man. And then we needed the drummer. I mean, we needed that. And then the two that were singing. They weren't saved just from something. They were saved for something. And this is one of the hard things that you adults need to hear. God cared about you so much that long ago, he planned some things that he wanted you to do. It's not that you work for him to get saved. It's because he saved you, he wants you to be part of the greatest enterprise that's ever been part of planet Earth. And some of us have never engaged in what God has called us to do. And because of that, I think there's some blessings that are missed. If these young people wouldn't have done that today, that would have been a blessing that we all would have missed, right? And you're part of that. It doesn't mean like we do good works for God. It means that God does his good works through us. God wants to work through you. But if you don't believe you're more valuable than a $20 bill, it'll never happen. You see, we see ourselves as I'm not fast enough, I'm not tall enough, I'm not smart enough, I'm not strong enough, I'm not. Instead of God saying, you're a masterpiece, and who you are is very important because of whose you are. This matters. And when you realize I am a masterpiece for God, that years ago, before I was ever born, He prepared some things for me to do. Never in my wildest dreams would I have dreamt that I have right now the privilege of getting to talk to you about how good God is. Never. But I'm so thankful that He prepared in advance for me to be able to tell you that you matter. Because there's a part of my life where God had to say, Jim, you matter. I'm like, I don't really matter. I couldn't even spell that word right. And God said, no, Jim, you matter to the point I actually prepared some things for you to do. Well, you can't use a guy like me. Yeah, I can. And if He can use a guy like me, He can use a gal like you. He can use a guy like you. What a gift we've been given. We're His masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so that we can do good things He planned for us to do long ago. So we're only in chapter 2, but when we get ahead to chapter 5, and we'll probably be there midsummer, but it says this, be imitators of God, therefore, as dearly loved children, and live a life of love just as Christ loved us and gave Himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. In other words, Paul is saying here, you really want to be a believer? You want to be a Christ follower? Then it takes action. You're not saved because of your action, but because of what He did, there is an action. That there is something that He prepared in advance for you to do. And He tells us how to do it. We do it in love. And I love Hope Church. I'm telling you, what a great, great church that we get to be a part of. And God didn't bring you here for naught. There's like something He wants you to do. Yesterday, people were crazy here. Painting, pulling weeds. They flipped over all these chairs. Do you realize how many pencils are stuck in these? Shame on you for not putting the pencil back in the pencil holder. There were kids in here, they had chairs flipped all over. I mean, I think there's like almost a bucket full of pencils. But those kids are valuable. And they're valuable enough that we put them to work. You're valuable. Thank you, every single one of you who pulled weeds yesterday, who tore things apart yesterday, who painted yesterday. Tim has been working here tirelessly. I don't even think he's here today. Changing toilets. You're like, wow, that's a Sunday morning thought. But they're brand new. We'll just leave that one there. But I'm thankful for them. Better than being outside, right? What has God asked you to do? He's asked you to be a little bit part of the holy huddle. Have you received Christ as your Savior? He's asked you to be part of the holy huddle, like you would be seated with Christ. It's an honor to be able to say, I think He knows me. And not only does He know me, I know Him. And because I know Him, it's not about my past. It's not about my badness. It's about His goodness, and I'm a masterpiece. Let me ask you this. Do you believe that? If you believe that, let me ask you this. What action in your life says, not I'm going to do this to get approval, but I'm doing this because I'm thankful? Yesterday we had Maisie's little party. She's 1 year old. And there were balloons everywhere. There was cake everywhere. There's presents everywhere. And I'm thinking, you better remember this. She has no idea. I mean, she liked the cake, and she has rolls like her papa does. And so, you know, she put cake in front of her. And all of this was done for her because she's loved before she'll never even remember it. That's what God did for you and me. Before you ever remembered it, before you ever knew him, he said, I've prepared a party for you. You're my masterpiece. Now, there will come a day where Maisie gets to give a gift, gets to be part of doing something for somebody else. Has God got you to the point where you're actually doing something for somebody else? It matters, and that's where growth really takes off. So verses 1 through 10, let me kind of sum it up this way, and then we'll have our teenagers and then the double teenager, Pastor Zach, come with them. Verses 1 through 10 demonstrate for you and me that we were or potentially could be spiritually dead and deserved God's wrath. However, or but the coordinating conjunction, God demonstrated his love for you and for me in sending his son. And then he says, if you actually believe, then believers are God's masterpiece and we are his workmanship. That God wants to take people like you, people like me, ordinary people, and he wants us to connect with heaven and then be able to do extraordinary things. I met somebody yesterday who we know, and it was at Touch a Truck. Touch a Truck was cool. You go there and you get to touch trucks and you get to touch excavators and you get to sit in a police car and you get to sit in a SWAT truck and all of these things. No, I didn't do all of those things. There were too many little kids standing in line. But Thorin did all of those things. And it was just such a special thing. And I don't know why I told you that. I lost my thought. Maybe I need to be done. Here's the thing. You're valuable, but some of us aren't utilizing God's gift to us and through us. Three questions I want you to ask. Truly, am I a zombie still living in sin? Am I connected to the living God? And then am I allowing his good works through me? You'll never be mature in that relationship with the living God unless you allow him to work, not just in you, but through you. It's how every relationship works. It's not just I say I do and then all the work stops. We have a lot of young parents here at Hope. It's not just, okay, I had a baby, now everything's good. It's like, I had a baby, now there's a lot to do. But the first thing is, you're valuable. All of this says we were dead, but you're so valuable, and now there's stuff that God wants you to do. Let's pray together, and I'll invite the teenagers to come and lead us again. Father, thank you for your love for us. And God, I pray today, maybe there's someone here who says, you know what? Truth be told, if I were to die today, I don't know if I'm going to heaven. I don't know that I've really made peace with God and asked him to forgive my sins and to become the CEO of my life. God, I pray if we haven't done that, that we would do that. We would simply say, Jesus, forgive us of our sins. Come into our life. Help me to see what a life in a heavenly huddle could actually be like. And God, I know there are people in here that you're not disappointed in, but you're disappointed for, because you have something for them to do, and they just don't think they're good enough to do it. They just don't think that they have the stuff to do it. And God, you have the stuff to help us to do it. And I pray, Lord, I pray that we would see how valuable we are in you and that we would fulfill the works that you planned for us, that you would work through us. And God, I thank you for these friends at Hope Church. I thank you for the friends who are watching at home. They still have something they need to do. They still have an opportunity, even if they're still at home. They can make a difference. God, do not let us settle short for what you have called us to do. God, and I pray for each one who came today that you would bless them. God, that you would keep them, that your face would radiate about them. And even in hard times, God, we felt that last week that you gave us peace. May you give them your grace and your peace. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand together.